I'm Fraser Kane. You're listening to the audio edition of Universe Today. July 4th is Independence Day in the United States, and Americans typically enjoy their holiday with a few fireworks. But up in space, 133 million kilometers away, there's going to be an even more spectacular show, Deep Impact. On July 4th, a washing machine-sized spacecraft is going to smash into Comet Tempel 1, carve out a crater, and eject tons of ice and rock into space. The flyby spacecraft will watch the collision from a safe distance and send us the most spectacular pictures ever taken of a comet, with its fresh bruise. Dr. Lucy McFadden is on the science team for Deep Impact and speaks to me from the University of Maryland. Hi, Lucy. Welcome to Universe Today.
Hi, Fraser. How are you?
So can you give me a preview for what we're going to be seeing on July 4th?
Okay. Well, I wish I knew exactly what was going to happen on July 4th, but this is an experiment. So I can tell you what we think we might see, but chances are that it may be significantly different.
Well, that'll have to do.
Right. So we have a spacecraft on its way to Comet Tempel 1, which is a short-period comet that comes into the inner solar system about once every one and a half, I'm sorry, comes into the inner solar system every 5.5 years. And it is about the size of Washington, D.C., can be fit into the area of Washington, D.C., but is a little bit elongated. It's about 14 kilometers by 4 kilometers by 4 kilometers. And as our spacecraft is heading toward it, we have plans to actually separate the spacecraft into two parts. And keep in mind, let me set the stage here. This comet is in orbit around the sun. It's coming to its closest point of the sun, called the perihelion, and will thus be moving at its fastest speed through the solar system in early July. And our spacecraft is also in orbit around the sun and is heading to intercept the orbit of the comet. And 24 hours before we plan to impact this comet, we're going to separate the two spacecraft, the impactor and the flyby. The impactor will continue on its collision course to the comet, and the flyby, or the mothership, will slow down a little bit and change its direction ever so slightly, so that it will be able to watch the impactor hit the comet. Now, when it hits the comet, when we have this cosmic collision in space, what's going to happen is the energy of the impact is going to propagate into the comet itself in the form of a shock wave. And that, so this shock wave will plow into the comet, and how deep, we don't know. But at some point, the comet, the force of the material in the comet itself will push back on the advancing energy shockwave, and then it will push back and push material out of the comet, and we will have formed a crater with ejected material coming out of the hole that we've created. Now, you may ask, why are we doing this? So, Fraser, will you ask me, why are we doing this?
why are we doing this?
So, we're doing this to take a look, to take advantage of the opportunity of this comet being so close to us, to take a look at the inside of the comet, to see what the inside is made of and to see what structure it is there. Now, to elaborate more, I think I need to give you some perspective on what comets are and what they are in the solar system. Comets are, I like to say, they're the oldest and coldest part of the solar system. They formed at the edges of the solar system hundreds of thousands of times the distance that the Earth is from the sun. So everything where comets formed was cold. They also formed 4.5 billion years ago when the solar system was forming. they have never been incorporated into a planet. So they are both old and they are both and cold as well. So we're taking advantage of the comets coming close to the Earth to use it as a laboratory and a probe to the distant edges of the solar system in both space and time.
Now, Deep Impact only launched a couple of months ago, so did we get really lucky with Tempel 1 being at the wrong place at the right time?
Yeah, well, from my perspective, it was at the right place at the right time.
I'm more looking from the perspective of
the
comet.
Right. Well, but oh boy, let me say two things here, though. First of all, the comet's not going to be harmed. Let's give some perspective here in terms of the mass of the spacecraft versus the mass of the comet, or the energy of the spacecraft versus the energy of the comet in motion. It's equivalent to a gnat or a small mosquito being run into by a 767 aircraft. So we're not going to hurt the comet. But needless to say, I'll let you take the perspective of the comet if you want. But yes, it was in the right place or the wrong place at this time. NASA said when it issued its announcement of opportunity for space exploration missions, they said this announcement covers, money will be available within a certain time frame, and the time frame was between the year 2000 and 2006. And so we went looking for comets that were available during the time NASA would give us money. And then when we found Comet Tempel 1 close to perihelion, when it's moving fastest, that also pleased us, because the faster the comet's moving, the more energy we have, the more energy is involved in the transfer to create the crater. It's good from that point of view. And then there's a third but secondary reason why Comet Tempel 1 is good. It's not as active as some comets might be. There's not as much dust and jet activity associated with Comet Tempel 1, which might be confusing or make it hard for us to actually observe the formation of the crater when we hit it. So Comet Tempel 1 fit.
And so how are we going to be observing it from here on Earth and from space?
Well, we have the spacecraft observing it from space, our Deep Impact spacecraft. We have the Rosetta spacecraft, which is heading to another comet, will also be observing it in space. We have NASA's three great observatories, Chandra, Hubble, and Spitzer, will be observing it three different wavelengths. Chandra's an X-ray telescope, and Hubble's an optical and infrared, near-infrared imaging telescope. And we'll be observing some spectroscopy with Hubble too, and then Spitzer's an infrared telescope. So we'll be using those as well as all the observatories, all the major observatories around the world. Will be observing the comet both before, during, and after impact. So we're having a worldwide observing campaign.
And how will the pictures from Deep Impact compare to the pictures that we saw from Stardust?
We're going to get. It's interesting. I'm using the images from Stardust to practice. Interpreting the images we get from Deep Impact. We will get a closer look of Comet Tempel 1 than the Stardust spacecraft did. So we will be flying closer. We'll be flying 500 kilometers from Comet Tempel 1, whereas the Stardust spacecraft was, I think it was 1,100 or 1,300 kilometers distant.
And I guess I remember that Stardust got hit quite a bit by debris. How will Deep Impact do if it's going to be closer to the comet?
Well, you have to remember that the Stardust spacecraft wanted to collect. The main objective of Stardust was to collect dust.
Right.
So they wanted to get hit. And so they flew into the region with the largest dust density. What we do when we fly through that same region is that we turn the spacecraft away into shield mode to protect the telescope during the time when we should be getting the greatest number of hits from dust debris. And we actually fly at an angle. Most of the debris exists in the plane of the orbit in the direction of its motion. And so the spacecraft will fly past it at an angle to that. So there'll be a short 20-minute period when we will not be observing to protect the cameras.
Once Deep Impact completes its flyby, will you have any additional scientific targets you might be able to use the spacecraft for once it sort of gets out of visual range of Temple 1?
There are currently no specific plans for observing in a follow-on mission. That has to be approved by NASA. We have done some research and know that there are another comet or two that we could observe, but we haven't gotten approval for that yet.
Right. Okay. And so I guess in your wildest dreams, what will turn up on July 4th?
Well, my wildest dreams are that the impactor will go into the comet and come out the other side, but that's not very likely.
Okay, then maybe a less wild dream.
Okay, less wild in order of probability is that the comet will have the consistency of like a brick, for example, and the impactor will hit it and not do much damage to the surface or not really create much of an impact because the comet is the consistency of a brick. But that's not very likely either. On the other extreme, what if the comet is like cornflakes? Oh, actually, it's cornflakes or concrete, one or the other, so a concrete brick. If it's like cornflakes, we should get a spectacular display of ejecta, and we call it an ejecta curtain, during the formation of the crater. And I'm hoping that that's what we'll see, because that would be very dramatic. And hopefully we could watch as we're taking, you know, it's like taking fast pictures, you know, short exposures, very short exposures repeatedly. We'll be clicking as we go by. So if we have a big ejecta curtain, we should be able to see the ejecta form or traveling along in space, and that will allow us to determine the most information about the internal structure of the comet itself. So that's what I'm hoping will happen.
All right, well, let's hope for that then. So thank you very much for taking the time to speak with me today.
Well, my pleasure.
Dr. Lucy McFadden is on the science team for Deep Impact, and she spoke to me from the University of Maryland. Now, you can get more space and astronomy news from my website at universetoday.com. You can also send me any comments or feedback at info@universetoday.com. Thanks for listening.